out. It's best to be in Kansas because we have airports that people, our troops can just fly out immediately, as opposed to being on the coast, where it's not as easy because they have to go one route or the other and it takes them longer. Right now, I don't think BRAC is part of that discussion that I heard of, and it wasn't certainly brought up during our meeting on Friday when Steve Hijack was talking about it, or when our Fort Riley personnel and staff were talking about it. So I don't think that's on the horizon, but we are always cognizant of things that might change and deployments that might happen and cuts to the defense fund and the veterans funds that might be coming along. So that's an ongoing conversation. But the military is also now looking at building more partnerships with their communities for housing, for health care, for jobs, for Soldier for Life and such things. So this is a constant, they look at military value when they evaluate each of the installations. And it's good to have McConnell here, Leavenworth, as well as Fort Riley. But like I said, we can't ever think BRAC is not going to happen, and that's a continuing discussion. But we are also going to be working with our community partners to make sure that we are completely involved in the process. We value our military, we value Fort Riley, and we are all in to take care of our soldiers in our community.
One of the other subjects that the caller brought up this morning, just a couple of moments ago, was about noise. And, of course, Fort Riley's been quite active because there are, you know, other activities that are happening on the other side of the other side of the world. And if, you know, the noise issues, the encroachment is going to be continuing to be an issue, should that BRAC matter, Paul, come into play?
And Ron can answer to this, too, but we do have the JLUS study that's been completed, and we have implemented some of the ideas that came out of it as far as making sure our developers are informing people that are going to live in those communities. When they have different types of artillery that they're experimenting with and training with, they're giving us a heads up. You know, hey, this is going to happen, and they tell the city, they tell our media folks so that the community is aware that Fort Riley is having different types of training, and that wasn't there in the past. And this was all grant fund research that we've been working on. So there's still more of that to come. But I think as far as the noise, it does bother a few folks. But I think people also understand when they say this is what freedom sounds like, this is what training sounds like. And we are very proud to have Fort Riley training happening within our community because we know that's where we want our military to be. It is one of the best installations we have in the nation, and we are very proud to have more people train in our surrounding area at the same time. Ron, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I would just add that, you know, one of the points that was made at the retreat was that you know, some would say, well, you know, why is Fort Riley? It's in the center of the country. I said, well, if you're on the East Coast and you're deploying to the West, you've got a longer distance to travel. And the infrastructure that Fort Riley has, they can get to the port and with their equipment quicker than some of the quick reaction forces can get to the port with their equipment. And so I think it's a good strategic position for that. And then as the mayor said, the training space that we have here is invaluable, and it's important to keep that. And certainly, we've always had strong leadership in Washington, D.C. with our senators and representatives and strong advocates for our military in Kansas. And I think that will continue, and we certainly appreciate the leadership that Senator Roberts has provided in the past.
You know, we heard, you know, that earthquake on Sunday, and I just, at first, when I saw people talking about that, I thought it was just Fort Riley booming over there. But
we just got used to it.
Yeah. So I don't know what if I would ever know what an earthquake actually feels like because of that. All right, well, let's move on here. The consent agenda here tonight. What do we have, Mr. Fear?
A few items on there of note. We have a small amendment to the Industrial Revenue Bond indentures with Civics Plus. They're just restructuring some of their finance documents, then extending the terms by about 4 years. And again, that is all part of their own individual financial arrangements. The city's just a facilitator there and has no economic component. We are getting ready to have some bonds sold later this spring, and so we're setting February 4th as a date to hold a public hearing to levy some special assessments on 23 projects, all of these are subdivision projects. There's about 6.8 million in public improvements, with about 6.6 of that being assessed, that will be assessed to the benefiting properties, and about 237,000 will be city at large responsibilities. A little bit of that is for a multi-use trail that was part of the Ledgestone Ridge development. Also, we widened some streets on a couple of them for some bike paths, and then we have an oversized water line that's occurring in one of those subdivisions, or has been constructed, that we also use a transmission main, so we pay the oversizing component of that. We also have a request for qualifications that we're seeking in professional design services for the Northwest Transmission Main. So this is to look at a second redundant transmission main out to the Colbert Tower in the northwest part of the city. Right now we have a main that goes to the Seco Tower, and then a pump station from Seco onto the Colbert Tower, to the Northwest Tower. And so there are service lines that come off of that. We've had some situations in the past where we've had some main breaks that could affect that water supply. So ultimately, we want to get another transmission main specifically to get water to the Northwest Tower. And so this will start the design process for that. It's something we've been budgeting for in our capital improvements program, and looking to move forward on that design component. We also are seeking the commission's concurrence with an amendment to a contract with Boundary Services with SMH Consultants on our levee project. So originally we had awarded some construction work for that. We thought that we would just need to identify the easements boundaries we need, but the Corps of Engineers is telling us that we need to also survey the entire property associated with that easement. And so there's an amendment there for that. This will all be count towards our match for the levy improvement, so it's not an additional cost for us. So it'll just count towards our overall match for the project. And then we also have a request from Pottawatomie County to waive some connection fees for our water service there. The water is provided to the Rural Water District, but they're obligated to charge those connection fees for us. And in this sense, it's for the new Pottawatomie County EMS station that's been constructed there in a sheriff's office. So because of the emergency services nature of this, they're requesting that those particular fees be waived. One of the things is that, and it'd be about $11,000 for that connection fee. It's based on the total acreage versus just the footprint of the building. So we certainly support potentially maybe a smaller fee or full waiver. I mean, it's something we have done historically in the past as well. And then the final item is to authorize the our annual membership payment for the Kansas River Water Assurance District. And this is about $35,500. This is an annual payment. This assurance district exists to ensure that we've got plenty of drinking water available to us in the Kansas River Basin. So we're a member of that district, and that's a group that we belong to that does that. And then there's some appointments as well that the mayor's recommending various boards.
Right. I think, you know, now that we have a couple of new commissioners on board, we will be appointing Commissioner Aaron Estabrook to the Flint Hills Metropolitan Organization, as well as Commissioner Morris will be an alternate on that. And Commissioner Hattasol will also be on the Senior Center Advisory Board, though that's not a city appointment. And Commissioner Estabrook will also be on the Flint Hills Area Transportation Agency Board. And Commissioner Hattasol will be on the Municipal Audit Committee. And then we have a couple citizens. Nancy Baker, as well as Chris Spooner, will be on the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committees. These are committees that are very instrumental in the decisions we make. And anytime you want to be on a committee, please just fill out an interest form that's on our website. We will certainly consider all of our citizens that want to be on an advisory board.
All right. Well, the City Commission meets tonight, 7 p.m., City Hall. You can view those on Cox Cable Channel 3, cityofmhk.com, and also on your Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So be engaged. Make sure you follow your city government here. Mary Reddy, we appreciate you being here. City Manager Fear, thank you so much.
Thank you
for having us.
All right, stay tuned. More In Focus coming up tomorrow. We'll have the school districts on here. We'll have USD 383 as well as Riley County Schools.
All right, Brandon, thank you much. Good job this morning. And in the 10 o'clock hour, we'll have Clark Howard, followed by the Rush Limbaugh Show. Dan Patrick this afternoon, and the game shortened to an hour. It begins at 4, and the K-State Network picks up the broadcast at 5, getting ready for K-State KU basketball, the Sunflower Showdown. Tip-off at 6 o'clock from Lawrence. It's 10 o'clock. I'm Dave Lewis. Have a great day.